So our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
So good morning to you all.
Good morning.
So today we return back to the tools for good works. And today we're looking at tool 58. Change from these evil ways in the future. Or the Cardong translation, correct these sins for the future. De ipsis malis de shetero emendare. So let's take a look at that Latin. Emendare. It might sound familiar in the sense of we get our word amend. It means to correct or to improve. Its root word, menda, means actually a stain. Or in a theological sense, it means has a sense of a stain is removed by either God's look or by God's word. We can think of Jesus looking at Peter when Peter has just the third time Peter has denied Christ there in the garden or the courtyard of the high priest. And Jesus looks at Peter and Peter goes out and weeps. So there's a good example of emendare. To correct or to improve. Of course, de ipsis means on one's own part or one's on one's accord, reflexive. De shetero for the rest. We get we pronounce it in English, et cetera. You know, and the rest, or all the other things, you know. But so my translation of putting these Latin words together is, for the rest of these matters, meaning sins or evil ways, for the rest of these matters, on your part, work on improving them. When I confess my sins, I think you will agree, when I truly am sorry for them, weep for them, if you put it that way, whether that's literal or figuratively speaking, I can trust that God does provide me the grace to improve myself. That's one of the beauties of the gospel guarantee of conversion. When I recognize my sin, there will be that help available to me. Again, years ago, some of you, we saw it here, but some of you won't be familiar with it, but still it was a good example of some of this process. It was a movie called The Mission, about the Jesuit missions in South America in probably the 17th century. And this one guy has been capturing the native peoples, the indigenous peoples, and putting them into slavery for years. And I don't know what caused the conversion, but then he has this major conversion, sees how wrongful it has been, this human trafficking, and then proceeds to join a Jesuit missioner to go out to one of these missions. And it just he carries all this heavy baggage as part of his penance, and it shows him going through the jungles and he's going through these, suffering a lot and making these big sacrifices with this heavy luggage on his back. And at a certain point, near a waterfall, so very symbolic of baptism. I forget, someone seems to cut all that baggage that he's carrying off. It falls down into the river, and he's suddenly free. And he weeps and weeps and weeps out of gratitude and thanksgiving, out of joy. Well, we looked at tools 55 through 57, although it's been a while, but there is a natural progression in these tools moving towards tool 58. In tool 55, we looked at the practice of lectio that leads to tool 56, the practice of prayer that led to tool 57, a compunction, or penthos, that finally leads to tool 58, this conversion process to change from these evil ways in the future. In other words, I regret my past sins and I make amends to change in the future. And again, this is the act of contrition in our sacrament of reconciliation, at least the traditional prayer of act of contrition. In fact, the older form of the act of contrition, which none of you other than Brother Girard will even remember, is much stronger on that. Maybe we'll look at that towards the end than the one that I never did learn because it came after my childhood memorization of the act of contrition, so I never could say that one. Because they changed it for some reason, which are the ones you guys know, at least those who memorized it and used it and grew up with it. But be that as it may, let's look at the reality of sin. Who does not struggle with daily failures against charity? People might not recognize it, but or recognize these things as sin, but we do struggle as human beings against charity. The impatience, the judgment of others, maintaining grudges, not being honest, a lack of transparency, whatever else we can add to that list. These are the daily struggles. And I came across a quote from Pope John Paul I, which is rare because he never only lived for 6 weeks or whatever it was, and never had much to, and his audiences, etc., was so limited. But he says this: the Lord loves humility so much that sometimes he permits serious sins. And he goes on to say, or ask, why? And he answers, in order that those committing these sins may, after repenting, remain humble. One does not feel inclined to think oneself half a saint, half an angel, when one has committed serious faults. And I would argue one does not feel inclined to think oneself a saint at all, even a whole saint or a whole angel, when one has committed serious faults. It's very humbling. Now, it's true, the Holy Father here speaks of serious sin, but every sin is serious because it's a disruption, it's a rupture of that relationship I have with God. And if I rupture the relationship with God, I have ruptured my relationship with you, the people I live with, my brothers and sisters, and the whole, you know, the whole world. And that's why these terrible, brutal, violent acts of aggression and war in our world, every one of us is responsible for that. It's just not Putin or, you know, whatever else is going on in Sudan, etc. We're all responsible for the violence in our world because of our infidelities. They may not hit the newspapers, and there may be no murders in the monastery, but there are and have been murders or attempted murders in monasteries. Don't kid yourself. And not just in the Middle Ages, we read about it in the Monology several places, but at least in my time, there have been some tragedies. But at any rate, St. Gregory the Great, in his dialogues, in dialogue number 3, he says, failures in relatively small matters are permitted by God as the means by which humility is gained, so that success in large matters does not become a source of complacency or pride. So again, it's just, you know, maybe Pope John Paul I is echoing St. Gregory the Great. But anyway, these are two similar statements on the role of sin and the role of humility and how the two do work together. Anyway, let's go on to more of an aspect of the gospel specifically. We know that the opening words, especially of Mark's gospel, are conversio, or in Greek, metanoia, the very beginning of the good news. Repent, change. Now, none of us are going to hear, let alone receive, this gospel message unless there is first this conversion. And I was struck by the biography of Pope Benedict XVI, as much as I could hear it, and I can't always hear so well some days. I don't know why, what it was. But at any rate, I did hear one day when Pope Benedict was speaking, I guess it was making reference to some address that he made, that if people do not recognize their sin, there's never and cannot be any conversion. If they see there's nothing they're doing is wrong, as it were, then what's the whole point even of redemption? I don't need to be saved. Well, hopefully it doesn't get to that point, and I don't think God will allow it to get to that point, even though there are those probably that do think that. But conversion of heart, the repentance of my past sinful life, is the first step towards my salvation, because I realize I cannot do it alone. I realize I need help. I need someone or something to be there to get me out of this situation, this tragic situation, this morass. But this conversion is a call from God to me. So it's God calling me. Conversion does not occur through the exercise of my willpower or my self-control. It does depend on a response, which St. Augustine would say is grace in itself. But conversion is first God's grace, God's voice calling, inviting me to follow his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, we can never emphasize this enough. It is God who first loves me and invites me into communion to participate in the life of God. And that invitation to participate in the life of God is a participation in the life and the sharing of those that I see, my neighbor, my brother, my sister. So never despair of the grace, the mercy of God to be there to assist me to amend my life. You know, we hear from St. Paul, I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. He goes on to say, miserable one that I am, Who's going to deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He concludes that section from Romans. And finally, just to close today, let's look at that closing sentence of the traditional Catholic act of contrition that at least I learned. And I wonder if you will, you'll recognize how a little different it is from the one that most of you learned, at least in English. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Change from these evil ways in the future.